This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 17 of Songs with Friends here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me once again is Kelly. Kelly, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good too, Kelly.
My always answer.
It is. You're nothing if not consistent.
I try to be.
All right, guys. Here on Songs with Friends, we break down song lyrics. We go through line by damn line by damn line. We break down the narrative, decide if there's a story to be told. Sometimes we'll read between the lines. Sometimes we'll make stuff up. First up this week is a song that I chose. It is from the 2002 album, The Eminem Show. This is Till I Collapse by Eminem and Nate Dogg. Kelly, are you very familiar with this piece of business?
I am. I wouldn't say very familiar, but I know it. Yeah. You're probably more familiar with it, but I definitely have heard it a ton of times.
Do you sit in your room with a toboggan and a wife beater on and headphones, and just feel the moment?
Feel the moment. I have not. I should have. If you had told me I needed to do that to prep for this week, I would have.
You know, it would have helped.
It would have helped.
All right, guys. I picked this song not because I think the lyrics are all that fascinating or because it tells a great story. I picked this more because of what Eminem has become today. This song was 16 and a half years ago as of this recording. And there's a lot in here about knowing when your time is up and knowing when to step aside. And I think Eminem is firmly at a point in his career where it's time for him to step aside and let someone else do the damn thing. And he is just refusing to do so. So, yeah, let's explore those themes, shall we?
Wow. Okay.
All right. Starting off here, there's a spoken word piece that we will just skip. Till I collapse, I'm spilling these raps as long as you fill them. Till the day that I drop, you'll never say that I'm not killing them. Now, till the day that I drop part is consistent. This fucker is going to rap until the day he dies and you pull the cordless out of his cold, dead hand.
Which, I mean, you know, why not? You don't agree with that? Okay.
You know, there's a reason.
What is he going to do?
All right. There's a place for that. I don't know if they have this where you are in the deep heart of West Texas.
But probably no. Oh, no, go ahead.
Here on occasion, you will get like the old timers rap tour with like Kool Moe Dee and EPMD. And they'll play like a small venue and it's like all the old dudes go and it's a good time and everybody has fun.
Hey, we had Snoop Dogg here and that was like pretty big deal. So
Snoop Dogg's like still a star though. Like when was the last time you heard Kool Moe Dee just on the radio?
Yeah, yeah. And is Snoop Dogg still putting out like music?
Probably. I don't know.
Okay. I figured since he was coming here, he was not, to be honest with you.
Well, but he plays like the good size arenas, whereas EPMD will play the nightclub or the small scene.
Yeah.
I think Eminem would be better served to start paring down his career and quit holding on to a spotlight that is really slipping past him.
I gotcha.
All right, because when I am not, then I'm going to stop pitting them, and I am not hip-hop, and I'm just not Eminem. So he's basically saying kind of what you were. Now, what else is he going to do? This rap thing has been his whole identity for as long as he could remember.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things he could do, like mentor people and be a producer. You know, I mean, there's things he can do. I just think a lot of times when people are used to being in the spotlight, they would like to stay in the spotlight, you know?
Like, I'm sure Eminem has plenty of money.
Oh.
But you know whose money shits all over Eminem's money? Dr. Dre.
Well, yeah.
Dr. Dre has put out 3 solo albums in 28 or 26 years. And his money is just ridiculous. And he has stayed that way by being an expert producer and doing things behind the scenes and coming up with other deals that don't require him to be in the spotlight constantly. And I just I don't think that Eminem has that capability.
I can see that.
All right. Subliminal thoughts, when I'm going to stop sending them. Women are caught in webs, spin them in hawk venom. A lot of these lyrics are just nonsense. Adrenaline shots of penicillin cannot get the illin to stop. Amoxicillin is not real enough. Now, all this wordplay and basically saying that he's the, quote, illest rapper going at that time. And in 2002, there's something to be said for Eminem not getting respect he deserved. When did the first one drop? In like 99 was when My Name Is happened.
Yeah.
And like it was good-ish, but it was a lot of silliness and a lot of character work in that.
Yeah, yeah.
So because he came out so strongly with the characters, he was dismissed by a lot of like the serious hip-hop fans. As, all right, this guy's a gimmick. He's just doing this whole Slim Shady character, but is he any good? And, you know, the next album was better and did commercially just ridiculous, just bonkers. And I think by the time the Eminem Show came out, he was finally, like, seeking respect. Like, all right, I've got the money. People still don't respect me. I'm after the respect. I think just this verse in particular was really him just showing, look, guys, I can rap. I know what I'm doing here. Fucking notice me, please.
Yes. No, yeah, I would agree. What year did you say, 2002?
2002, May of 2002.
Okay. I saw Eminem in concert, but I think it was 2000.
Yeah, I remember this vividly because I had been on a camping trip, which is very rare for me. And on the way home from that camping trip, I stopped at Target and saw this Eminem CD was for sale, and my mind was blown because it was a Sunday and album releases were always Tuesday. So I thought, holy shit, I somehow missed an entire album release Tuesday. Like, when did this come out? It turns out it was an early release. I guess it had leaked on the internet, so they responded by just releasing it to the street on Sunday instead of Tuesday was the release date.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that's how I was able to pull that little tidbit from memory.
Yeah, you have a good memory anyways.
Yeah.
But when I saw him, I'd like to say this. It was like, I'm pretty sure, I probably need to look it up, but it was like Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, him, like Exhibit, I think was there, and like Warren G. I can't remember, there was someone else. It was like a whole, you know, a whole bunch of people, and it was pretty awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like the Up in Smoke tour.
That might have been what it was called.
Which I've seen, they actually put out a home video of that. It looked amazing.
Yeah, it was a good show. Yeah, but I never saw him again. That was just the one time.
Well, Kelly, are you in luck? I've got tickets for you to see Eminem when he comes through San Angelo next week.
You're an asshole.
It'll be Eminem and his cousin Bruce.
He will not come here. I guarantee. Well, I shouldn't say that. Hey, that Snoop Dogg thing kind of shocked me. I'm not going to lie.
Say Snoop Dogg and these superstars of World Wrestling Entertainment have visited your fair city. And you're saying
this is right.
You're saying Eminem is too good for that?
Yes.
Well, fantastic. All right.
That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
The criminal cop killing hip hop filling a minimal swap to cop millions of Pac listeners. It doesn't flow well at all. You're coming with me, feel it or not. You're going to fear it like I showed you the spirit of God lives in us. Again, that's him saying, look, you're going to feel what I have to say, damn it. If it kills you, I'm going to make you love me.
Yeah.
You hear it a lot. Lyrics that shock. Is it a miracle or am I just a product of pop fizzing up? And then some just nonsense here. For shizzle my whizzle, this is the plot. Listen up. You bizzles forgot. Sizzle does not give a fuck. Again, that's kind of what I was saying a minute ago. Like, is this guy for real or is it just he came out as a white rapper at the peak of pop music just doing stupid numbers? Like in 2000, that was right as Napster was starting to hit. And right before that, you had Eminem, NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Britney Spears, all just like doing 10 million right out the gate. Just absurd record sales. And that bubble was about to burst.
Yeah. That's crazy. I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. Back then, that was the height of when TRL was a thing.
Oh, well, hey.
Yeah, TRL powered this shit. It was craziness.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember hearing an interview with him back then where they gave him the numbers for his first week, and he panicked. Because he's like, all right, that's not good. Like, it's good for my pocketbook right now.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not sustainable. Like, I better not get used to this. This is an aberration.
Yeah. I had a huge crush on Eminem, too.
All right, we gotta explore this.
There's not much to explore.
All right.
One time I had a dream about him. That was it.
All right, Kelly, you can't just drop that on the
No, nation. It wasn't bad. It was just like, this is embarrassing. I was just like, I had a dream. I don't even want to tell you this. No. Oh, God. I had a dream that I, like, lived in his house with him. I don't know. It's ridiculous. It wasn't even, like, a sexual thing or anything. It was, like, I in my dream, I think I was his girlfriend. But, like, in my, it's, like, I lived in his house. And I don't know. I don't remember full dreams. So, who knows what happened while I was sleeping. But now, I definitely thought he was cute.
Now, did you reenact this dream when you woke up with a Barbie dream house and a Barbie and Ken situation?
I was a grown-up.
Hey, I didn't ask how old you were. I asked what you did in follow-up to this.
I was probably 20. I probably would have if I had my Barbies still, because I loved playing Barbies when I was little. That was my thing.
All right, so say tomorrow you're working at the bank, and a gentleman with an Anichi sweatsuit and peroxide blonde hair asks to speak to the manager. Are you falling in love with this gentleman?
Nah.
Damn, dismissive. Shit. My God.
I know, that hair is ridiculous now that I'm thinking about it, but
it really is. I don't want to say I copied it.
Does he have a beard? No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Back in 2000, I tried to dye my hair like that, but
yeah, I think everybody did.
I only had enough for the top of my head because my buddy dyed his hair. And I just used what was left over.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Do you have a photograph?
It is actually the badge for my first hospital job.
You had a job? I'm just kidding. Yeah. That hair?
Yeah, it was just about to grow out to the point where I could cut it out. But, yeah, I had my picture taken for my new job. And I had that same badge ID for 4 years.
Oh, my gosh. That is amazing.
Yeah, I couldn't have timed it any worse.
No, I think a lot of my guy friends had that. Either it was like they went from that Mark McGrath thing, is that how you say it? Mark McGrath? And then they went to like the Eminem, shaved their heads and like dyed their hair, you know, bleached their hair. The bleach tips to the bleach shaved head.
My goodness. You knew people in real life that looked like Mark McGrath?
That tried to do the hair? Yes.
Yeah, that did not make it to Kentucky.
Well, I know you guys are too good for a lot of things over there, so.
Hey, I thought when I was like 15.
I will text you a photo of a friend that has the Mark McGrath hair. Yes.
Look, I don't want to see pictures of dudes you've been in love with for 20 years. Because they have those sweet, sweet frosted tips.
You're going to get what you get.
Well, damn. All right, now we cut to Nate Dogg.
Okay.
Who is awesome and amazing in everything he did before he died. Till the roof comes off, till the lights go out, till my legs give out, can't shut my mouth, till the smoke clears out, and my high perhaps, I'm gonna rip this shit till my bones collapse. That is actually a very strong chorus. Mm-hmm. There's an amazing backbeat to this song.
That's the best part of the song, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. And Nate just rides the shit out of it here.
Mm-hmm.
He's got an amazing voice, and I wish he was still around.
Yeah, for sure.
That is him saying, look, till the roof comes off, damn it, till the world falls apart, I'm going to be here doing my shit till my bones actually fall apart.
Hey, why can he do that but not Eminem?
Because he did the right thing and checked out when he was 40, okay?
Well,
I mean, the stroke made the decision for him.
Yeah, that's actually, see? I feel like Eminem gets some of that Taylor Swift hate that people give. It's just like other people could do it, but he can't.
I'm going to tag both of them on Twitter because he's going to love being compared to T-Switty.
Stop.
All right. Music is like magic. There's a certain feeling you get when you're real and you spit and people are feeling your shit. This is your moment. And every single minute you... I think they missed something here. This is your moment. And every single moment you get... Trying to hold on to it because you may never get it again. So while you're in it, try to get as much shit as you can. And when your run is over, just admit it when it's at its end. To me, this is... I heard this... this block here and immediately thought, all right, I'm doing this for the show. Because right about this time is when it came out that he had just done some 11-minute freestyle, and then he was going to be doing the 12 Days of Dismas, and he just came out with not one but two albums that were complete bricks. I'm like, all right, it is time.
Yeah.
Like, admit it's over. You know, when your run is at its end, it's Eminem's time to just sit down and shut the fuck up and count his money. It was a good run, an amazing run. People don't last 20 years at his level in the rap game like he has.
Yeah, yeah.
I think at this point now, you know, he's got to be mid-40s. Just relax and let it go. It's a young man's game.
I don't think he's that old, is he?
Yeah. Look, if I'm 36, he was a grown-ass man when I was 17.
Oh my gosh, you never know if this is right, but it says he's worth $120 million.
I think he was born in like 72 or 73. So yeah, he's...
You're right, 72. Ugh.
Yeah.
He's out of my age of dating. What was I thinking? Just kidding.
Eminem has aged out of the Barbie dream house.
No, I just... That's too old. I didn't realize he was that much older. Oh. Not that I'm young, but I actually felt like he was, I always felt like for some reason he was like my age.
I just heard the pen drag across your notebook where you cross his name off of your your eligible bachelor list.
I put Eminem. No, I don't care how much money you have. You're old.
You've aged out of the league, buddy.
Oh, that's crazy. Okay.
All right, so we
but that's why I was thinking, why would you waste? But if you have so much money, like... I just feel like, why would you waste it on, you know, you think he's, I mean, they're losing money on him. Someone's paying for that. You know what I mean? And I didn't really pay attention. I know there was that whole rap battle or something going on with another rapper. Did you see that? I don't want to say battle. That sounded wrong. Did you see that on Twitter?
No.
See, I clearly shouldn't even be talking about this with you.
All right. Here's my theory on why he's getting away with it at this point. Dr. Dre, just when he split from Death Row and started Aftermath, like there were 2 years there where he was doing jack shit. Like everything he put out was just shitting the bed. And then he discovered Eminem and put him out. And Eminem caught fire.
Yeah.
Single-handedly saved that record label, which started the chain of events, which has now led to Dre being worth billions upon billions of dollars. So I think that there's a loyalty there. He sees,
yeah, okay.
He's never come out and said that, but I think that he sees M as kind of the catalyst and the savior for him staying in the business.
Yeah.
So I think it's one of those things where, you know, he's going to be allowed to keep dropping bricks every so often. Especially with the way the record business is now, where, you know, you don't have to eat the cost of physically manufacturing all these discs. You can just put it out on digital and...
Yeah,
save yourself some money.
That's true. Yeah, it was Killshot. Okay, I'm just going to bring this up. It was Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem, and they were going back like with songs, diss tracks at each other.
Yeah, I didn't listen to any of those.
I didn't listen to it either because, okay.
Machine Gun Kelly falls under my never listen to anybody who wears skinny jeans rule.
Okay, he does have one song I know, but yes, I get what you're saying. It's a duet.
He... was at WrestleMania 1 year, like performing.
Like what year?
2012.
Oh my.
It's the first time that Cena wrestled The Rock. And they actually had Machine Gun Kelly like do Cena's entrance for him. They had Pitbull do The Rock and Machine Gun Kelly did John Cena. and they were in Miami. So you put Pitbull in Miami, like, he's going to get over regardless.
Oh, I saw this. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
All right, we'll explore that later.
Sorry. Well, Machine Gun Kelly was in Bird Box, which I know you're not going to watch.
But then he just started talking some randomness about John Cena being the underdog and how he knows what it's like to be the underdog. And just people were booing the shit out of him. To me, it's like, all right, you know, this is just pretty much everything I need to know about this man is what I'm seeing right here.
Yeah.
He is as tone deaf as can be. All right, so then Eminem gets into his list of favorite rappers. He's like, because I'm at the end of my wits with half the shit that gets in. I got a list. Here's the order of my list that it's in. It goes Reggie, Jay-Z, Tupac, and Biggie. Andre from Outkast, Jada, Corrupt, Nas, and then me. So I think this is showing some good humility here. He's like, all right, guys, I know I'm not getting the respect. So here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys ahead of me.
Yeah, that's a lot to list.
And it's a solid list. You know, I would slip Jadakiss behind him at this point, but I wouldn't argue with any of the rest of those. Are you very familiar with Corrupt's work?
Mm-mm.
All right, you were getting linked the hell up right after we finished the show.
That's probably... Yeah, that's probably... Yeah, no.
All right. But in this industry, I'm the cause of a lot of envy. So when I'm not put on this list, the shit does not offend me. That's why you see me walk around like nothing's bothering me, even though half you people got a fucking problem with me. You hate it, but you know respect you got to give me. The press is wet dream like Bobby and Whitney. Nate hit me.
Oh.
Now, this is before Whitney Houston died, obviously.
Oh, I've been on a Whitney Houston kick.
Well, and at the time, he was also feuding with the guy. Wait. Go ahead.
Did he date Whitney Houston?
No.
Oh, never mind. Okay, sorry.
No.
Mariah Carey, he says.
Yes. He was feuding with the owner of The Source at the time, which is a hip-hop magazine, and just feeling like they weren't giving him the proper respect he deserved. So I think this is kind of an offshoot of that.
Okay.
Then we go back to the chorus again. And then we go home here, he says. Soon as the verse starts, I eat at an MC's heart. What is he thinking? Enough to go against me smart. And it's absurd how people hang on every word. I'll probably never get the props a fella ever deserve. So, you know, he's coming to grips with, all right, I'm good. I know I'm good. You don't want to admit that. Fine.
Well, that does kind of have to suck.
Yeah, I get it.
You know.
And I think part of not getting the respect back then has fed into what we have now, which is an old man who will not stop shouting at the trees.
Yes.
That he deserves to be loved too.
Yes. Yes.
But I'll never be served. My spot is forever reserved. If I ever leave Earth, that would be the death of me first. Because in my heart of hearts, I know nothing could ever be worse. That's why I'm clever when I put together every verse. So he's like, all right, I'm not getting the respect. It would be terrible if I never, so I'm going to put out my best effort every single time here. I think this kind of came to a culmination, I think it was 2009, when this guy's whole life, all he wanted was for like the big kids to play with him, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he gets on that Drake song where it's him, Lil Wayne, and Kanye, and then Eminem. And the other guys are kind of half-assing the song, not really taking it too seriously. And then Eminem comes on there and just has the absolute fucking outburst of his life. Like, it's amazing. It is that scene from Old School where Frank the Tank is super smart for 30 seconds.
Oh my gosh. We were just talking about that movie, my brother and I. Oh God.
That was his moment, like, to show that he could do it.
Yeah.
And it's been downhill ever since.
Yeah. Well, and he has some, you know, struggles of life that don't, you know. God, good Lord.
All right. My thoughts are sporadic. I act like I'm an addict, which at the time he freely was. I'm rapped like I'm addicted to smack like I'm Kim Mathers. That's just a low blow. This man built a career off talking about that lady. Jeez, Al.
And his mom.
Yes. But I don't want to go back and forth in constant battles. The fact is I would rather sit back and bomb some rappers. So this is like a full-blown attack I'm launching at him. The track is on some battling raps who want some static. Because I don't really think the fact that I'm slim matters. A plaque of platinum status is whack and I'm not the baddest. So that's him saying, look, if you want to come at me, come at me. you know, I'm making all this money. I've got platinum albums, but I don't care if I'm not known as the best. And there's something to that. You know, I think pretty much everyone would like to be considered good at something, you know, especially.
Yeah.
And it does eat at you if you're legitimately great at what you do and you're not getting, and you see other people kind of getting that status.
Yeah.
I could see that eating somebody up and being their motivation.
Yeah.
But there comes a point where, you know, you're the old guy at the club, the party's over, and it's time to go home. And M, buddy, love you. It's time.
I have, to be fair, I haven't listened to much of his recent music, so I can't really speak about it. But,
I have, and it's not great.
Oh, what's the song he did with Man, I'm gonna have to think about that. I'm gonna look it up. Go ahead. Sorry.
All right. Well, that actually, well, that doesn't quite wrap us up. He basically closes out. I will not fall. I will stand tall. Feels like no one can beat me. So, you know, that's, I'm all about positive self-affirmations in 2002. I like to think if he redid this song now, it would be something about being an old man with weak knees. My back goes out.
Oh, man.
All right. And that wraps us up for the first half of our show with Eminem's Till I Collapse. Now we will move on to Kelly's pick this week, which is a completely different vibe. This is from the 1994 album, Cracked Rear View. This is Hootie and the Blowfish with Let Her Cry. Now, oftentimes we will pick two songs that will not get played at the same party. However, I could very much see some middle-aged white guy trying to recapture his youth, having a house party with his buds. They come over, they drink the Miller High Life, and they put on the mix, which includes both Hootie and the Blowfish and Eminem.
That might be my house, actually.
It may, in fact, be Russell Sellers' house. I don't know.
Yeah, I wonder if Russell does like either one of these bands. I was just thinking earlier about, I feel like a lot of people are so picky in the 90s about like the rock bands they like, because I think there were so many good ones, in my opinion. So we were very spoiled. So...
So you want to tell the world why we picked this song this week?
Well, I picked it to agitate you, honestly. I love Hootie and the Blowfish. You were not excited about their tour, which I found people that are excited about it. So maybe I'll, you know, find someone to drag to the show. But I was like, wow, that's cool. Cause I really did. I like his voice, you know? I mean, I wouldn't say like I know all their music, but I always liked this song. It's probably really sad and whatnot, but I like that kind of music. So
are you one of those people that refers to Darius Rucker as Hootie?
Yes. Probably. I mean, I know that's not his name. I can't, now that you put me on the spot. Yes, I must have done that in my life, but I like his voice. He has a good voice.
See, I have no issue at all with Hootie and the Blowfish. I rather enjoy their music most of the time. It's not something I would seek out, but if it comes on, yeah, I don't get angry about it like I do with Dave Matthews.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, shout out to Kevin at DeFranco11. I remembered this time. For backing me up on that.
If you're going to tweet anything to defend Steve, just don't.
Jesus.
I'm just kidding. No, I get a lot of people don't like Dave Matthews. I don't love him as much as a lot of people, but I do. I mean, he has some songs that I definitely do like. So, and I've seen him in concert a time or two. So
Dave Matthews once emptied shit off of a bridge onto the unsuspecting public. And it did not sound as bad as his album that was out at the time.
What in the hell are you talking about?
You didn't know about Dave Matthews and the shitty tour bus situation?
No. What are you talking about?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not going to look it up right now. But, yeah, that's a real thing. They emptied the waste from the tour bus like into a river or something. I may have that part wrong. But, like, yeah, they got caught. And it was a whole thing.
Really? Yeah. I have never heard that.
It's been within the last 10 years that happened.
Oh, in the last... Really?
Yes.
Okay, well, I probably saw them in concert, like... I don't even know. I bet it was 17 years ago or something. Long time ago. They definitely are a fan of, you know, it's a... You're going to get a... You're going to get high if you're at one of his shows. That's just all that's happening. So yeah. It's really like a bunch of like hippies, you know, like feels very like peace, love, and you know.
I would have to be high to enjoy Dave Matthews Band, so that works out.
You're ridiculous.
Confirmed.
There's not one song that you like?
Nope. Not at all. Just the whole vibe of Dave Matthews and his band like bothers me.
Well, that's
just
fair enough.
Just look at that asshole. I just know. It's the same rule I have with the guy from U2. Like the music's technically okay, but man, fuck that guy. Like I can't support.
Oh, I don't like U2 at all. I don't like any of their music.
Like I understand people who do, but I'm not one of them. I can't get on board with this.
I can't get on board with U2. Or the Beatles. Okay, so we're really going to get hate. Let's go.
Wow, see, I wasn't even going to make that known.
You were sharing my seat. You were going to keep that a secret?
I was.
Because I just can't. I've tried even recently. Everyone's like, download there. And I have. And I just, it's not for me.
All right. Our viewership or listenership is plummeted. Because we do a music podcast and neither one of us likes what is greatly regarded as the greatest band of all time, the Beatles.
I know.
Oh, well, sue us. What can you do?
I've tried.
All right, you want to, now that we've done that, and there's eight people left listening, do you want to walk us through
Kevin,
the...
I hope Kevin stuck with us.
He made a recommendation today, so I...
I know.
I added it to the notebook.
I know. I didn't... Kevin, I didn't get a chance to listen to it, but I promise you we're going to do a Kevin's... I'm going to pick a Kevin song. I didn't listen to it yet, so...
All right, you want to get us started on the Hootie lyrics here?
We got it. Okay. So it starts, she sits alone by a lamppost trying to find a thought that's escaped her mind. Okay, so I'm going to say this next part. I don't know because I found conflicting lyrics, so I don't know what you found when you looked online. I actually always thought it said, she says, dad's the one I love the most, but I think it's supposed to say Darius. But Stipe's not far behind, which... In some research that I did, it was referring to Michael Stipe of R.E.M.
Yes, that was the first thought that came to mind. Okay. I originally read that as Stipe.
Yeah.
The UFC fighter.
Okay, that would make sense, though, coming from you, because like, I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, but how would she know who Stipe Miocic, or however you say his last name, who he is in 1994? That guy was a heavyweight champion, like, last year.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was thinking it's one of those, you know, hey, obviously she loves him, but, you know, more of a, like, probably a fan of R.E.M., you know, I think a lot of people in 1994, probably not you, but a lot of people in 1994 are a fan of R.E.M.
So she's sitting by this lamppost thinking, you know what? Dad's cool, but I love me some Orange Crush.
That's pretty much
I'm a big fan of R.E.M., believe it or not. Especially in 94, that was about the time that Everybody Hurts came out.
Uh-huh.
That song's a fucking banger, man. Like, I respect R.E.M.
Yeah.
Dude looks weird as hell, but God bless him, man. He's putting out music.
Yeah, putting out music. So, I don't really know. I mean, do you have anything to add on that first part?
No, she's sitting alone trying to find a thought, and this is words out something about her dad and Michael Stipe. Yeah. That's slightly abstract there.
Yeah.
But I think it's kind of painting the picture and setting the scene here that she's a bit of a different soul, a little aloof, if you will.
Aloof. That's the word we're going to use. Aloof. Okay. That's the Steve word.
It is.
Okay. And then it has, she never lets me in, only tells me where she's been when she has too much to drink. I say that I don't care. I just run my hands through her dark hair. Then I pray to God, you got to help me fly away. So, I mean, obviously, you're dealing with someone. I like to think of this in a different way, but obviously you're dealing with someone who has an addiction problem, which we've talked about a lot on this show. But I was going to maybe relate this more to, I mean, it's not always like you can live with someone that's sad about other things, or, you know, not necessarily has to be somebody that's drinking. But I can see that a lot. Like, some people have to get drunk before they'll even share things with you. You know what I mean? Or, you know, or like in this case, she's going to go out, party, do what she's doing, but she'll contact him once she's had too much to drink and she's ready to come home, you know? It's like, well, now I need a ride home. And I think that's what's a lot of addicts, you know, once they need you for something, then they're going to contact you, you know, but they may never, they may not answer your calls or texts, but when they need something from you, they're going to expect you pick up, you know?
Yeah, this immediately conjured up the Offspring's self-esteem. For me, that whole deal, you know, she's drunk again and looking to score. And then he's like, all right, yeah, we're going to go on a date this night. But he waits till two, then he turns out the lights. You know, she only wants him when she needs something, when it's convenient for her.
Yes.
He is obviously not in a healthy relationship here at all.
Yeah.
But then this part here is just me being me.
Oh, no.
Having watched far too many movies in my life, that I pray to God that you got to help me fly away. That's a serious line. But I immediately think of Forrest Gump and young Jenny sitting in the middle of the field.
Jenny.
God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far, far away from here.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Oh, my God, Steve, you think it's shit. Okay. And then, you know, we have the chorus. So let her cry if the tears fall down like rain. Let her sing if it eases all her pain. Let her go. Let her rock right out on me. And if the sun comes up tomorrow, let her be. So, I mean, I think there's something to be said for, like, I don't know. I guess I can only really relate to this. And I may have even mentioned this on the show before. But like when my mom died, I know I was like a very sad person for probably like a year, honestly, which is pretty horrible now to when I think about it. But it's like, it probably was hard for the people in my home and like my family to probably be around me. I probably wasn't very fun. And you just sometimes maybe just need to let people figure shit out in their own way. But I think if they're self-medicating or drinking, or, you know, I wasn't doing any of that, but I think sometimes you got to let people go through shit, but you can't, I don't know, but if they're hurting themselves or harming themselves, I feel like you gotta say something about it. But what you got?
Yeah, oftentimes addicts are people who are hurting. And I think this is more in the long, along the lines of just being with someone while they're in their pain.
Yeah.
Let her cry, let the tears fall down like rain, let her sing if that's what helps. You know, but let her go, let her walk right out on me. Like, don't fight it, just whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yeah. That is very, I cannot live like that. Some people are better than me.
Some people, never mind.
Just some.
No.
No, what were you going to say?
No, I had something very problematic I was going to say.
So you're not going to say it?
Hugo is shooting me the watch your mouth look. So when the podcast pup gives you a pointer, you listen to him.
Okay, so then we have, this morning I woke up alone, found a note standing by the phone saying maybe I'll be back someday. I'll just read the whole thing, I guess. I wanted to look for you. You walked in. I didn't know just what I should do, so I sat back down and had a beer and felt sorry for myself. Now I'm thinking, he's drinking too. Yes. Now. You know, but I think that I think some people thrive on it too, though. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are in unstable relationships, and I think it's almost like they thrive on it, and I can't do it. Like, it's unsettling to me. If I feel unloved or unwanted or questioned about the, I don't know. It makes me feel bad. You know what I mean? But I think some people thrive on that, and they want to try to, I think it's just fixing someone or whatever it is. And I just can't do it, you know, but now I'm thinking he's drinking too. So that's, you know, this might be a combination of two people that really both have problems, you know? So,
yeah. So she leaves him a little Dear John letter, but it's not even like finality. It's like, yeah, maybe I'll be back. I don't know.
Maybe we'll see.
Maybe I'm going out to a gangbang. Maybe I'm just going out for milk.
My God.
You never know.
You need to stop watching those Adam and Eve commercials.
Hey, shout out to Hulu for constantly asking me if I need sex toys and three DVDs when I'm trying to watch Letterkenny.
Oh, shoot.
So then he even says, I wanted to look for you. Well, you know, clearly this woman's in danger. She's drunk. She's wandering the streets alone. She can't remember if she's looking for Dad or Michael Stipe.
Yeah.
He's like, well, fuck, maybe I'll find you. Or yeah. Maybe I'll watch The Office again. I don't know.
Yeah. we'll see.
So you know what? I'm just going to have this beer and feel sorry for myself, even though the drunk love of my life is out there probably getting accosted because she's confused as shit about life.
Yeah, but to be fair, in 1994, you couldn't just be like texting somebody, calling them very easily, you know.
Yo, he had to page her 911.
Yeah, if she had a pager, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so it was a little bit different getting a hold of people back then than it is today.
That's true. He had to actually comb the streets.
I mean, someone could track you, your location on your cell phone if they have it set. It's kind of creepy.
As kids, that's a hard lesson there. Turn your location services off as soon as you get your phone.
But then what if the cops need to find you and you're missing?
Well, then I'm just going to be missing.
I don't know. That's kind of shit I think about. Okay. Like on Snapchat, you can have your location on there. I'm like, ooh.
Big if true.
Huh?
It's a big if true. I don't know.
Stop. Okay. Last night I tried to leave, cried so much I could not believe she was the same girl I fell in love with long ago. I don't know, that line of the song, she was the same girl I fell in love with long ago. I always like, I don't know, when I hear that on that song, always like makes me, you know, because I mean, I think that's got to be hard. Like you fall in love with someone, we all change, but like if they weren't an addict when you met them, you know what I mean? And then they become that other person, but you still love them. I mean, it's just, that's got to be horrible. You know what I mean? Like, that's just got to be super shitty.
Yeah, because it's still like they become an entirely new, you know, there's still a hint of what made you fall for them to begin with. But just seeing it damaged, it's like, you know, there's a diamond in there, but it's covered in shit right now.
Yeah.
So you can't appreciate what it is. And just that loss of knowing there's something great in there if you just find it.
Yeah. Well, and it's not like, because I, you know, I think sometimes people fall in love with the potential of somebody, and that's not a good idea. But in this case, she might have been awesome when he met her. You know what I mean? And then it was like, then she lost that. And I can understand sticking around hoping you could get that back. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
In that case. So. And then it has, she went in the back to get high. I sat down on my couch and cried. What is Hugo ready to go? Hugo's like, we're done.
No, keep going.
Okay. And then he says, yelling, oh, mama, please help me. And then it has, if the sun comes up tomorrow, let her be. So, you know, just kind of, now she's getting high on who knows what. So, you know, and he's just, I think he's just realizing, I'm going to be living in this and I don't know how to change it. So. All right.
So for some reason, I'm picturing a trailer. She goes to the back of the trailer getting high. We don't know on what.
No.
I'm assuming it's something a little harder than weed if he's on the couch. Yeah. She's in the back getting high. He's in the living room literally yelling, mama, please help me.
It's like Santa Claus, I do believe.
God damn it.
I'm just kidding.
So here, poor Darius is just crying his eyes out, screaming to no one in particular on the couch with that stupid fucking baseball hat on. Mama!
Hey.
Please help.
Hey.
I can't leave this bitch alone.
Oh, shit, that's funny.
Sorry, I did not mean to take it to such a ridiculous place, but it was right
yes,
there.
Yes, you did. This was just my Steve revenge song. Oh. But I do like it. I do love Hootie and the Blowfish. But they were not on my list at all till a couple weeks ago.
Well, fantastic.
Yes.
All right, guys. I think that about wraps us up for Hootie and the Blowfish Let Her Cry. Hopefully you're not sitting on your couch crying for help listening to us.
Yes.
This week I went first, so next time Kelly goes first. Kelly, what song do you have for us next time?
God, I can't even pick. This is horrible. Okay. We're going to do an REM song, but we're going to do Losing My Religion.
That is an amazing song and a quality pick.
Yes.
Really helps balance out my pick.
Go figure.
Which is not a good song at all. I'm going with LFO Every Other Time.
I don't even know if I know this song.
No?
I probably do.
I think this is the first time we've covered a boy band, so I'm pretty excited about that.
What was their big song?
Summer Girls.
Okay, okay.
I think it's fine when girls stop by for the summer, for the summer.
I gotcha. Okay.
So,
yes, yeah, on the boy band.
Anything you want to plug before we go?
You could just follow me on Twitter, Instagram, at KelGene17.
All right, guys, you can follow me at Songs with Steve on Twitter. Follow the show proper at PTBN_songs. We've been getting more activity lately. Kelly has been, she's been chastising some of the posts on there. I'm primarily in control of that, and I just will put ridiculous things on there sometimes because fuck it, why not? You can also email us at ptbnsongswithfriends@gmail.com. For Kelly, I'm Steve. Thank you for joining us. We will try to do better next time.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place B Nation's Justin Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceBNation.com. And we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place B Nation Wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, Main Event, Survey Says, Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars podcast retrospective, No Holds Barred, Jeff Learns Wrestling, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. On top of that, we're also dipping into the vault, re-releasing the entire catalog of Where the Big Boys Play for your enjoyment. And in addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is loaded with great content, offering such tremendous shows covering the land of pop culture, such as Geek and Sassy, Talkin' Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, Sunday Groove, PTBN Play, Freak Out Drive-In, Songs with Friends, Looking Forward, Looking Back, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Conversation Comics, DC Post Crisis Management, Marvel Age, and Marvel Age Masterclass, plus weekly pod blasts that cover the gamut of comic topics. The feed is also filled with insightful sports content, including the NBA team, This Week in the NFL, and more.
And you can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows plus others available at PlaceBNation.com. We cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceBNation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.